Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Sisters and brothers, grace and peace to you from God our Creator, from Jesus our Redeemer, and from the Holy Spirit who breathes in and among us. Amen. Well, folks, it's here. The day has come. The wait is over. Trinity Sunday 2017. Day of the Holy Three, the three in one, the one in three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Let's be real, you have not been counting down the days. But if you have, we will have a prize for you after worship. Get in line for a cookie. Actually, as far as I've heard so far in my young preaching career, today is mostly a dreaded day for preachers. It's the one day of the liturgical calendar dedicated to a doctrine, which brings with it two major issues. One, a doctrine in and of itself is super boring for most normal people, not to mention a doctrine can seem completely disconnected from everyday life. And we're all well aware that you people just want to get in line for cookies. Two, none of the preachers ourselves totally understands the Trinity, and we are terrified that we will say the wrong thing about it, them, her, the royal we, whatever, the word will get back to the bishop and we will be excommunicated before cookie time. Among preachers, there seems to be sometimes a fear that someone out there in the congregation is playing a game in their pew or in their chair on Trinity Sunday, and it's a little game I like to call heresy bingo. Do we have the slide? It's very enthralling, heresy bingo. If you can advance, Aaron. Okay. For example, if I say we worship the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God the Creator, and in any way imply that these three are three different beings, you would check the space tritheism. Distinct beings would be acceptable, but not different. Or if I say sometimes God is our Redeemer when we've sinned and need God's forgiveness, and other times God creates as God once created, and then other times God moves among us and through us and sends us into the world. Modalism, not okay. May have sounded nice, but there was an implication that God only operates in one of these modes at a time, and that is pure heresy. Well, then if I try another route, God created in the beginning, and then one day God begat God's own self as the Son, and then later on, God, via the begotten Son, sent the Holy Spirit. Nope, Arianism. The formula implies that the Son and the Spirit are subordinate to the Father, which is wrong. Throw in adoptionism, docetism, monarchianism, or a recent development I discovered, the metaphor of three-in-one shampoo, conditioner, body wash, and you've got yourself a bingo. Well, what then shall the preacher say? What's left? What images remain for explaining the identity of God and why that identity matters in the face of our lives and the world? What does any of this have to do with our place in the world? Well, in wondering what then shall we say, our good friend Martin Luther has some guidance. In a letter to his colleague Philip Melanchthon dated August 1, 1521, he addressed some concerns Melanchthon had expressed to him. Melanchthon seemed to have been asking Luther, "What shall I say to the people about who God is and how God works in the world? What if I say the wrong thing? What if my errant words damage the people and lead them astray?" Well, like most things, Luther had an opinion on this matter, and he wrote this: "If you are a preacher of grace, then preach a true, not a fictitious grace. If grace is true, you must bear a true and not a fictitious sin. God does not save people who are only fictitious sinners. So be a sinner and sin boldly, but believe and rejoice in Christ even more boldly." Sin boldly, Luther said, if the alternative is silence. Don't be so afraid of messing up that you do nothing. Risking a mistake is better than risking nothing at all. In fact, no matter what happens or what you will say, you will mess up. It's human nature. And then you will experience God's grace even more. So in the spirit of sinning boldly, I will assert this about the Trinity. God, the three in one, the one in three, is a God of relationship. God comes to us as parent who parents and creates still today. God also comes as Jesus, our Redeemer, who forgives and gives us new life. God comes as Spirit, the breath who breathed and moved over the waters of creation, who today breathes life into our bodies and into our world. Every fiber of God's being is relational, both within God's self and with all that God has created. And as we saw and heard in Psalm 8, all that God has created includes the cosmos and every individual person who is otherwise a mere speck in the cosmos. This is not an original thought, God as relational. If you want a fancy word to take to coffee hour, it is perichoresis. Para meaning around and core meaning making space, all the same root as choreography, so it is a dance. The members of the Trinity dance with one another and with the cosmos and with each of us. Fancy terminology aside, the point is relationship. Well, as many of you know, we at Spirit of Joy are in the final stages of a visioning process. It's been a period of discernment, reflecting on who we are and how God might be working through us. One of the major themes to emerge from the process has been a desire and call to be in relationship, both among those of us who call ourselves partners of Spirit of Joy and with our neighbors around Sioux Falls and beyond. We are feeling the Spirit, the Holy Wind, move this congregation toward mutual ongoing connections with people and communities that may not make their own way to 69th and Western. It's a move beyond writing checks, toward shaking hands and exchanging stories and learning languages, to use the Pentecostal image from last week. Next week, we're going to distribute a survey during worship asking you to share with us where your experience and passions lie in connecting with neighbors around Sioux Falls and beyond. We'll give you a list of ministries under the categories food-related, cross-cultural, and other ministries reaching underserved populations in Sioux Falls. And you will tell us which ministries you've been involved with and which other ministries God might be calling you toward, to see where the Spirit might be moving you and all of us. Our hope in this is to create and deepen relationships as a congregation with one or two particular communities outside of our walls, as opposed to having a wide range of relationships that are short-lived or only financial. We're not making drastic changes, but discerning how to focus our sending from this place, how to be more deeply in relationship with the God of relationship and with our community. But of course, relationships can be riskier than budgets. Being a neighbor is sometimes messier than being a benefactor. Because with relationships, we can start playing a mental game of neighbor heresy bingo. For example, I might not know what to say. We can't understand each other, literally. I might accidentally offend him. She might offend me. I might feel guilty about my own privilege. I don't have anything to offer someone in her position. I'm too young or too old, they wouldn't want me around. When I was a junior at Augustana, one January, the Augie Choir was during our tour around the Midwest, and one of our tour stops was King of Kings Lutheran Church in Woodbury, Minnesota. Before the concert, as was our tradition, we prayed together with our hosts. The King of Kings pastor offered the prayer, but before doing so, he shared greetings from their sister congregation in rural Tanzania in East Africa. Pastor Ralph said, "Our sisters and brothers in Tanzania are praying for you today and as you continue to tour." And with his tone, we all believed that they really were praying for us half a world away. The comment alone was a humbling moment to imagine that people so far away were praying for us during a choir tour. And then Pastor Ralph gifted our conductor with a hand-woven basket from their sister congregation's village, and he said, "Also, they invite you to visit them in Tanzania." Though the kind invitation brought about a brief, excited murmur in the room, we all mostly scoffed at the idea. A vastly white Midwestern Lutheran choir traveling to sub-Saharan Africa for our biannual international tour. The previous year, we had toured around Ireland and Northern Ireland, so obviously up next in the rotation was Norway. But sure enough, unbeknownst to us, until months later, our conductor followed up on the invitation. The following May, a few dozen Midwestern musicians landed at Kilimanjaro International Airport. We landed not to help, but to learn, not to impose, but to sing. We showed up as an expression of connection and relationship, and it changed my life and the life of many of my choir mates. Several went on to return to Africa and otherwise work in international fields, and I can safely say that all of us returned home with a larger, more connected perspective on the world we inhabit. As for me, the trip deepened a sense of call to ministry within the global church, to being in relationship, which eventually landed me at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, so I may not be here without that church basement invitation. Come to Tanzania. All because of an invitation and a relationship. Because being at King of Kings in Woodbury, Minnesota meant also being in the Ilombilole village of rural Tanzania. Their deep relationship with one another kept them linked despite being half a world apart. So I wonder, what would it look like if Spirit of Joy could live this sort of linked life? That when you walk into our doors on La Quinta Street, you are also walking into the life of Latino youth in Sioux Falls, or you're opening the doors into a medical center in rural Cameroon, or you're running around a youth soccer clinic in Nicaragua. Not because we will suddenly pretend to be people we're not, or that we'll claim to be located someplace other than where we are, but because we are so deeply in relationship with people in other communities that our lives are linked together. I wonder what it would look like if an invitation into the life of Spirit of Joy also is an invitation into the life of a refugee family from Bhutan or former prisoners seeking fruitful re-entry into life and work. How could it look if Spirit of Joy would boldly claim that because our triune God is a God of relationship, we too are a people of relationship? In our gospel reading for today, the disciples seem to be playing a bit of a mental bingo game. It's a pinnacle moment, literally and figuratively. They're standing on a mountain in Galilee, and there the resurrected Jesus shows up. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. The sense among some of them seems to be, "I don't know about this. I'm filling a few spaces on my life heresy bingo, a checkmark of all the things that just aren't supposed to happen. All this business about incarnation, healing, crucifixion, and resurrection, it just doesn't fit together. I can't make sense of it. Who is this God who creates the whole cosmos and yet stands in front of me right now, face to face on an everyday hike? This God whose fingers are all over the mountains and the seas and whose breath soars with the birds of the air and yet died and rose for me? For me, this one standing here doubting even though God in the flesh is right here? What if I say the wrong thing to this God or about this God? What if I don't know what to do or where to go when I walk back down this mountain?" "Go," Jesus says. Even to the doubters, just go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Invite all people into the dance of the God who dances with you. Sin boldly, because ministry and relationships are always risky, but Jesus doesn't wait for the disciples to figure it out, nor does he wait for us to figure it out. Go and baptize in the name of the triune God. Link yourselves to God, because God links God's self to you. Risk relationships, because our God risks being in relationship with us, which must somehow imply that abundant life is found there in the linked life. Jesus shows up and says, go. Meet your neighbors. As you're baptized and linked into the life of God, share that life with those you encounter. And as we go, may we remember that Jesus says to us, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus is always with us, linking his life to ours and to our neighbors. Amen.